You know, it seems like it's been this week that I keep getting asked the same question over and over again. And usually right about now, I try to come up with a joke that makes me laugh. But I've read this poem before, and I'm going to read it again, and probably again at another time. But the question I kept getting asked is why I go to church. Why I go to church. And Sam Workman wrote a poem that says, "Because I need to breathe the air of faith and hope and peace and prayer. Because of weekday strain and wear, I go to church. Because I cannot get from radio, nor Sunday paper, nor picture show, the food that makes the spirit grow, I go to church. Because lecture hall and laboratory don't show me myself like gospel story. So to help my soul take inventory, I go to church. Because I need the Spirit's bread, which at church is freely spread, because of memories of my dear dead, I go to church. Because our earth with ills is rife, class and clan all make for strife, so seeking a better way of life, I go to church. Because my relations all the week rest so much on class and critique, because I learn of Christ the meek, I go to church. Because the church is a dynamo from which spiritual currents flow to keep earth's moral light aglow, I go to church. Because my soul I would anchor fast to something that will evermore last, because I need a vision vast, I go to church. Because death's chasm I would span and build life on an eternal plan and pattern it after the perfect man, I go to church." With that thought in mind, let us give as the ushers come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's okay. Time changed. I'll let you slip a little bit this morning. Everybody was so worried about me because I'm home alone for the yesterday and today that I got phone calls making sure I set the clocks forward. And I have to explain to them people, I can still tie my own shoes on occasion. And it's a blessed day. We had a lot of rain. Now I see the sun's trying to make its way out. It was funny, everybody on Saturday morning or Friday morning, have to think about what day it was there. One day this week, everybody was talking about how warm it was getting, and spring was on the way, and oh boy, it's going to be spring. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, an inch of snow fell where I live. I just thought that was hysterical. You don't know what's going to happen. But it's a blessing for us to be here today. I want to start off by asking for your earnest and direct prayers for Diane. As many of you know, she was in the hospital all week with pneumonia. And in speaking to her yesterday, she is very sick. And they said there's nothing they can do with her. They just sent her home to take the medicine. And she's struggling with being at home. And she's got no one to care for her. After church, I'm going to go out and anoint her. And I'm going to have to solicit the help of a volunteer to go with me. Just one, being as that within her neighborhood, she's afeard of having a bunch of cars because she knows if I say we got to go see Diane, the whole church will empty out into her front yard. So I want to keep her lifted up in prayer. She is struggling greatly. Also, I want to look over Wendy. She's driving up, and it's a joy and a concern because it's a concern because she's on the road, but it's a joy because she's going to visit her grandmother. You get it? Grammy's not coming to see us, which means I still get some peace and quiet at the house. Don't tell her I said that. She ain't here, is she? Keep her in your prayers as she drives. And we find that all of them are in good spirits. And Grammy is doing well and happy to be around. Her Jim, her Uncle Jim and her Aunt Irene are also up visiting. So keep them in prayer. And certainly it goes without saying what happened when you woke up there in the morning. What was it? Tuesday morning? Wednesday morning, wasn't it? When you woke up, well, when you wake up at the hour I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you're stumbling around the house and you get in the truck and you click the radio on and you hear the news announcer going, and it was an 8.9 magnitude earthquake and a tsunami and everything. I'm like, what? And here we go with Japan. We need to keep that country in prayer. devastating, and it's not over. We need to lift that up in prayer for what is yet to come that we don't know of. If there are none others, then let us join our hearts together. And if you have that unspoken request, something that's on your heart that you just want to keep within but yet express it to God, just that hand up and down as we join forward. Thank you. Let us join our hearts. We come to you in prayer. Not just as one, but as many becoming one. And ask that the chorus in heaven stop for a moment to hear us. You have put so many things on us. You have given us such great responsibility. You have seen to it that we are given work to do, Father, and instead of being exasperated, frustrated, or tired, let us be thankful that we're not idle. We communicate to you through Jesus Christ. And there's no secret that as we approach that day, we start to prepare ourselves for remembering what He gave. How can we not praise Him in song, in verse, in word, in deed, in work that You've given us, in what You've laid out in front of us, Father? Thank you. We ask that You bless Diane Evans and her family. That You would heal her, that You would lift her up, that You would get her out from underneath this bondage of the physical body and get the spirit going again. She suffers so greatly. And for other concerns laid upon our heart, for loved ones, we're thankful for those that were able to go through certain things this week and come out the other side of it. And that, Father, would be everyone in this room, because we all go through trials through the week, whether it be, how am I going to take care of the family? What's going on with my job? What can I do to further my walk with You, Father? What soul can I reach out to? And yet all we need to do is pray and turn back to You, and there You are. Thank You. For the family that lost so much, we want to ask why, but we already know the answer. Your time. Let them be shielded and drawn closer to You, Father. Let our hearts which break, pray for them. Thank You for the gift of life. Not just the life that You've given us when we said, I take You as my Savior. But for a birthday. For a remembrance. And for a land so far away, Father, that some of us can't even figure out where it's at. But yet we know of it. And they were so tragically defiled upon by the force of nature. As men, as people, we build and we build and we build. And in those moments like that, when it's all torn down, we are left destroyed. Father, lift them up and save them. Bring the message of Christ to that country. Use this time to show who is Lord of all. Bless this church. As we undertake to work together as family to minister to another member. Bless this church and the work it will do, not just inside these four walls, but as this auction approaches. Let each and every one in here remember the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, and let us on that day take time to witness. Hey, do you know my Jesus? Lift us up and bind us, Father. Let us become a nation again under God, following You. Hear on our hearts the prayers that we didn't ask for. Hear on our hearts the needs that we desire. And let us be thankful for your answers, whatever they may be, that you've laid out a journey for us that'll carry us one day through the streets of gold. Amen. Hear us, Father, as we pray and put all things together in your hands. And through Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 63. Our scripture today for the message, the dog in the lane. There were some people going, "What? What?" I wasn't kidding when I said that. Psalm 63, a neat little psalm written by David. It was his a desire for the presence, for the provision, for the protection, no matter what, his desire that he would stay in front of us. David wrote this psalm. He wrote it, of course, when he was in the desert of Judah. Psalm chapter 63, all of it. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory, because your love is better than life. My lips glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of foods, and with singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches through the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Ending carefully there, David writes these words. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds. Deliver unto us the message which you have prepared. Let it fall from you through me to ears, that we would be lifted up and be ready for the week to come. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I live in my own world, I am so often told. I hear it quite often when I make a comment or when I see things that trip me. I hear the same words over and over again. What world do you live in? Somebody said today, you know, it's almost as if you're still innocent. Well, I'm not innocent. But I find that if you take a moment, the world that I live in, and look around at the things that are going on and listen to what people are saying, you start to hear God talking to you. The more I watch, the more I see, the more I see, the more I learn, the more I hear, and the more I begin to think, that's what you mean. Today I want to talk to you about that. And I'm starting off in a weird place because this has been just that kind of a week. It has been nothing but ups and downs and tearing and going this way and pull this way. And you've all lived that week. I need to go here and here and pull and here. And it got me thinking that yesterday when I watched this fella trying to walk dogs. Notice I said trying to walk dogs. Everybody around here has had a dog of some sort. Most dogs are pretty happy. Most dogs can't wait to get outside. And if you've ever taken a dog for a walk and you clap the leash on them, what's the first thing that happens? You better have your heels dug in. Because when that dog's ready to go, that dog's ready to go. And he don't care. You don't know, I'm going to run, I'm going to pull on that leash. And I watched this old boy who was about this tall trying to walk three Great Danes. And I'm telling you, if I hadn't been sitting at a stoplight, the laughing that was going on, I'd have crashed the truck. They were dragging him right along, and I thought to myself, well, I don't have a video camera. They were pulling that way, and he's pulling back on them, and they're pulling on him. And for as hard as that was making me laugh, I'm hoping that was his wife behind him, because she was two heads taller than him, and she was walking a chihuahua on a leash like this. And I got to thinking, hey, Christians, ain't that us? All they knew was they wanted to go where they wanted to go. An old chihuahua puppy thought, well, ain't no way I'm going to pull that, so I'll just walk with her. You see what I say? When I live in my own world, the stuff that makes me laugh. But it got me thinking, tugging at that leash. It's that moment when my brain begins to turn. It's that moment when I see things and I hear things. And this is not about bragging or anything like that. It's that I want you to experience and walk into the world where God puts you. You let the world take a hold, and you're not going to get very far. We've been studying James. We're kicking it off right out of the gate. And in James on Wednesday night, in the first chapter, we read these words. And my students, I'm hoping you've done your homework. In the 22nd verse of James, we hear these few verses. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. Amen. That's the dog. You have them three Great Danes. They know they can get away with murder with a little man on the leash. I'm telling you right now, if that man would have fell, I'd been in the hospital. Because they know. They ain't paying attention to nothing. The little chihuahua knows where it was at. Knows I can't get away with it. I'll follow. I'll stick along. We studied and talked of the Bible passages here Wednesday night. And yeah, this is a nice little plug that you should be coming out for Bible study. Because we're trying something new and we're having a lot of fun with it. But Marvin made the comment of how many times we run right past Jesus without stopping. And bang, there was my sermon. I told you. We get too far out in front. The minute he said that, the scripture came alive to me. And I got to thinking about our collie dog when I was a kid. And here we go with the sermon title. We had a collie dog that was just absolutely the most wonderful dog in the world until you went walking somewheres. And I'll guarantee you every dog in the entire world is like this. My driveway, for those of you who have been there, and some of you have, is a half a mile of dirt road. And you start off walking down that driveway, you're going somewhere. Nobody walks that driveway just to walk it. At least I won't. And she would hear us start down the driveway. Generally, I was going down to my grandmother's house to get some peanut butter crackers that Mom wouldn't know about. Don't tell them. And she would come running down that driveway and pass us. Usually knock one of us around. And tear off down that driveway. She didn't know where we was going, but she was going with us. And she'd get out so far in front and then suddenly stop. And she'd look back. Am I going the right way? And then she'd wait and we'd catch up to her. And she'd bark and yap and nip. And she'd take off again. And a little while she'd be way out in front and stop, turn around and look back. That's the dog in the lane. That's who we are, Christians, when we're looking at the scripture and not listening to it. We're running way far out in front and we're not remembering who preserves and who protects us. Often, we don't want to be followers. Really, do you really want to follow somebody? Get in a truck with me one time and I'll show you how much I don't like following people. a guy this morning, how is it we could be going 50 miles an hour on flat ground, and the minute we go uphill, we're going 20? I couldn't figure that out. Suddenly he turned off, and I wasn't following him anymore, and life was great. We want to be out in front way too often for the whole world to see us. Look at me. Look at me, I'm out in front. Look at me. Look at me, I'm out here. I'm running. I'm going fast. And I'm getting going. And this past week was all a part of that. I'm out in front. I had this going on and that going on and this going on. And all of a sudden the week was over and my family was gone. And I didn't spend any time with them. And it all kept coming back. How often do we run past Jesus looking for what we want? Not what we need. Not what we should be having. Will Rogers said, you know what? We can't all be heroes. Somebody's got to sit on the curb on the sidewalk and clap as they go by. Ain't that the truth? I guess sometime I should break down and learn that song that Greg gave me. Nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Still nobody's ever heard of that song, have you? It went, nobody wants to play rhythm guitar behind Jesus. Everybody wants to be the leader of the band. I'll have to learn that, come in and sing it sometime. But we need to be followers. James is talking to us about being a follower. David, in writing that psalm, has said the same thing. I can do nothing without you. If I get too far out in front of you, pull me back. Because without you, when I get out in front, I'm no longer protected. I watch geese fly overhead. Geese form up a V. And if you've ever seen them flying along, have you ever noticed that when they're in the V, they got more geese in one side than the other? You know, that line's a little bit longer. You know why? Because there's more geese on that side. They get in a V. And somebody takes the lead. And after they fly along for a while, that lead goose will start to tire out because all of everything is hitting it. All the air currents, all the dirt, everything. The goose is actually forming a foil behind it and making the air lighter for the ones in back. And after they've flown along for so long, that lead goose will drop off and another one will step up front and begin to take over so that one can go back and get rested up. And they'll fly along like that for miles and miles and miles. When we step out in front of Christ, we put ourselves out there to take the dirt that He's catching. And I don't know about you, I get tired out real fast. Amen? We need to step back. We need to stay in the back. We need to be followers. Not what the whole world wants to see. Because if you're like me, if the one thing that I've seen is when you're out front like that, you're actually scared. Oh, yeah. At least I would be. David writes to us. He says that he is reflecting on a time when he might have started to run past the Lord. If you go back and read that whole psalm again from the beginning, it starts off, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water," he has started to run past the Lord. And he caught himself. He started to become the dog in the lane. Jesus comes and fulfills everything, doesn't he? Everybody knows what happens in Matthew chapter 4. Flip over to it. We need to be preparing ourselves as that time comes. These aren't just idle words or idle moments. These are actually straightforward teachings and preparing us for His death and resurrection. Just so that you don't forget it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking along beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee. Preparing their nets, Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. It doesn't say they got out in front and swept the road. It doesn't say they ran around going, "Look at us walking with him." It said, "Follow me. I'll keep you. I'll protect you. I'll save you. I will put you back there. I will give you the grace and covering." That's what happened when you fell on your knees and said, "Christ, come into my life. I'll follow you." And what happens when you start to look around at your world, at what's going on in your life, you can trace it right back to, maybe I've gotten out in front too far. Oh, you're working in the shop and the wrench slips and you take all the skin off your knuckles and you say a bad word. I haven't. I'm just using that as an example. Or something's not going right. You're at the checkout counter, one of my favorite places in the world to test your patience. And things aren't going right, and you start getting mad. When you're driving your car, when you're walking up the street, when you have to call somebody on the phone and ask them why the power bill was so high. When the boss won't let you alone. When the world is getting away from you, rather than step back and go, "What's going on here?" Step back and go, "Oh, I got too far out in front, didn't I?" Pray, pray, pray. Jesus just looks at him and says, "Come follow me." You ever think about what you'd do if he walked in the door right now and said that? "Come follow me." They didn't say, "Well, I was going to go barbecue this afternoon. Or I got this going on, or the game's on." S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of the Diseases, tells the story of a young woman who wanted desperately to go to college. But her heart sank when she read the question on the application where the blank said, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, "No." And returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this letter from the college, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year in our college, we will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that these 1,452 leaders have at least one follower." You'll get nowheres out in front of him. You'll get nothing along out in front of him. And I'll tell you what can happen. You get far enough out in front, you lose that influence, and you start to let the world take back over. Little things start to slip away from your lips. Little actions start to not seem so bad. Little things you do suddenly start to add up. I taught the Sunday school class one time. Do you know how long it takes to make or break a habit? Somebody say it out loud. 21 days. Studies have shown that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. 21 days. Old preacher, my dad knew, and I cannot remember his name, told the story of how he'd been retired, and one Sunday he decided he wasn't going to go to church. And he was going to stick away from it. And I've told this story in Sunday school and Bible study. He was going to stay away from church that Sunday. He said it was hard, it was terrible, it was ugh. The next Sunday it was hard, but it wasn't so terrible. It was kind of nice sleeping in. The third Sunday, well, I miss him, but you know. The fourth Sunday he quit thinking about it. And on the fifth Sunday when he returned, he felt like a stranger. He was the dog in the lane that got too far out in front and lost sight of where things were going. Anybody done that recently? You can say amen. You don't have to put your hands up. I'll be the bad guy. I did it this morning. You got too far out in front. You start following the wrong things. His name was Eli Black, and he was a brilliant businessman, and he was known for two events in his life. He masterminded a multi-million dollar takeover of the United Fruit Company and turned it into the greatest conglomerate that ever in this country has been seen. And he also jumped to his death from the 42nd floor of the Pan Am building in New York City. In the book American Company, an executive described having a business lunch with Eli Black, and the waitress came out and she brought them a plate of cheese and crackers. And Black reached out and took them away and put them right in front of him. And he blocked everything up with his arms so that you couldn't get to him and continued talking. It is a good thing I was not sitting across from him. I would have unblocked the plate. The executive hadn't eaten for hours and kept hinting around that he might like a cracker and a little piece of cheese. But Black acted like he didn't notice. He didn't care. He didn't pay any attention to him. But after a while, Black placed a cracker with cheese on the tips of his fingers and, whoops, slid it off onto the plate. Then blocked the rest as before. He was making it very clear that he was in charge and that the executive had better learn it because he was able to manipulate him as he pleased. It was clear when you play follow the leader at the head of the line, you better make sure your leader is Jesus Christ, not someone who ended up in suicide, but someone who ended up in humility, taking our side to save us. Amen? That's what happens when you quit, when you get mixed off, when you slide off to the side and you quit following. All of a sudden, everything starts getting fuzzy. It happened to me this week. I lost sight for a little while. Got a little bit off track. Got too far down the lane and turned around to look back. Decided I better stop and wait and hit the legs in prayer. We're coming to that time when we'll talk again about Jesus Christ and His death and His resurrection. But before that, He made us followers so that He could cover us, so that He could protect us. As David put it back there in that psalm, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Upholds me. He knew what to write, and He knew what to say. Friends, it ain't nothing to worry about. Just stop and wait. Let God catch back up. Get back in the back. Let Him take the front lead. Let Him come back to your life. Let Him have you as a follower. And He said, come and follow me. That's what He wanted of you. Let us pray. And here's how it happens. I want. Father, in a world that's nothing but self-help, do this for yourself, or learn this for yourself, or be yourself, or get out in front and live out in that frontward lifestyle, Father, we start to forget that everything we have is because of You. Everything can be taken in a moment. Everything can be restored in a moment. I pray that we follow. I pray that we're not leaning into the leash trying to drag You around, but that we're competently walking behind You, waiting for what You would have us do next. I pray that in our lives in this week to come, that what You have laid out for us, we will handle with prayer and thanks unto You. That our world, our life, our journey is shaped by what You say, what You think, what You do. And You will never let us falter. You will uphold us always with Your right hand. Father, I ask that You bless the brothers and sisters here today and prepare them for the week to come. And if we do go up the lane too far again, let us have sense enough to stop and wait. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name, from whose blood we are all cleansed and saved and given that place to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got too far out in front this week and you need prayer to get back in, if you need strengthening with Christ, if you need strengthening in your walk, if you just need the prayer, when we sing this last hymn, which I had to snicker when I saw it today, I am thine, O Lord. Come up during this last hymn and let me have prayer with you and share that with you.
Okay, please stand and turn to page 552. Come, Father, I pray that if there is something on our heart that we find ourselves falling to knees in prayer with you, and if need be, calling someone and saying, will you pray with me, please? I ask that you continue to remind us to follow, that you strengthen our heart in the work that will come this week, and the trials and temptations, that you lead us straight through them so that on the other side, we know you are Lord. I pray blessings upon each and every one gathered here today as they go from here, now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever, now and forevermore. Amen.